Hallelujah. I'm going to move today into something very important, but before I do, I asked Brother Delvin if he could come up and he could share a special poem about the unconditional love of God and how that is what will change this world. Amen. Go ahead.
Satan wants to take away our joy, but I got so much joy. I'm breathing, I'm living, I'm not going to hell because I'm forgiven. He's trying to hit us where it hurts, stress, worry, and depress ourselves into an early hearse. Get us to think, what's the use of putting God first when the world's corrupt and everyone is just under a curse? Block that from your spirit. Jesus overcame the world, so I ain't trying to hear it. Bullets fly, people die, we hear it every other minute. Sickness and disease, the devil wants us to fear it. I get it. Reality, it is what it is. But you're in the world and not of it, once that you're his. Tribulation's gonna come, but we still gonna live. We're saturated in his grace, he broke the power of sin. God was pleased to bruise his son. Through Jesus, salvation comes. God forsake the Son, on the rugged cross he hung. Christ died when we were sinners, now that's unconditional love. At that moment, it was like God gave the world a hug. He loved the world so much, he was willing to crush his Son, who knew no sin but became sin that we might live. The shedding of Jesus' blood can resurrect the dead. Jesus rose from the dead, just like he said, with all power and authority within his hands. Make disciples of all nations, this is his command. To the earth be salt and light, we are ambassadors for Christ. For we are not alone. He sent the helper to help us bring glory to his throne, the Holy Spirit. It lives within us, that the kingdom of God may be revealed to all sinners. It guides us to all truth. Recognize the fruit. Jesus is Lord of all Lord, King of all kings. We got proof. Filled with love, joy, peace, and self-control. Kindness and goodness, he restores my soul. Faithfulness and goodness, he's worthy to be praised. Forbearance and gentleness, that's why I praise his name. Without the Holy Spirit, the world would drive me insane. I'm unashamed of the gospel. That's hot. That's why I proclaim Amen. Jesus.
Amen. 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 Thank you. Amen. That's a good word from the throne. Just wanted to talk to you today about the promise of the Father again, about the Holy Spirit. Do you mind if I just put this down, Pastor Tom? Is okay if I use this one now? Okay, good. All right. Because I brought along something that I want to put on here. The Bible says that we have two choices in life. Okay? We can either choose life or we can choose death. And what I've learned is that there's something, and we're studying about this in the book of Romans. You got to come on Wednesday nights. I'm telling you, it's powerful, powerful, talking about the book of Romans. And I got a bunch of stuff right here. This is my old man. My old man, okay? It's filled with violence. It's filled with all kinds of impatience, rage, lust. This is the old man, okay? This is what I looked like before I was born again. Before Christ came into my life, this is what I was filled with. Shame, dirt of every kind. The book of Romans says this is the way all people look outside of Christ. This is the way all people look to God. Okay? Even the best of people, even the people that are morally good, the book of Romans says, even those people that do what is right in the law, you know, under the old covenant, they may have tried to keep every one of the laws. All right? And maybe they succeeded pretty much. But you know what? Still, if we disobey in one little tiny little area, just one little tiny little area, we disobey the whole law. And so it's an interesting thing. Christ came in the midst of darkness and bleakness and the darkest of nights. He came because we all looked like this. We all looked like this. We were covered with rags. All right? And then Jesus came. And when Jesus came and through his blood sacrifice, he redeemed man from looking like this so that we could walk in the newness of life. Hallelujah. Sister Laurel, in the green room, there's a jacket. I'd like you to bring it to me in a few minutes. This is what we look like, okay? Now, the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, he came to make a change. He's called the Comforter. I love this. How many of you have ever bought a new comforter? You know, a really nice comforter. You look forward to having that beautiful comforter. A funny story that I'd like to tell you about the comforter is so true. Holy Spirit is a comforter. But a while ago, I heard this story about a guy who was so excited because his wife bought a new comforter. And so he was excited because he was going to go home and sleep with that comforter. And so he was so happy, he paid a pretty penny for it until he got home and the comforter was not on the bed. And he turned to his wife and he said, "I thought we bought a new comforter." And she said, "Oh, honey, that's just for show. That's just for show. That's not for use." Now, it's nice, you know, if we've got things that are pretty. How many of you ladies understand that's what we do sometimes? We have towels that we don't use, and men kind of go, "What?" We have comforters we don't use. What? But the funny part about it is this. The Holy Spirit is called a comforter. And when he comes and he gives us a brand new life, we take off this old man. Laurel, you can bring it. We take off the old man. Ooh. We take that off. Thank God. We put on the new man. Ah, white. Ah. Ah. We become little sheep to the Lord. We become little sheep that are pure and filled with the glory of the Lord. You know, the Holy Spirit wants us to remember this constantly, that when he came to dwell in us, he tells us constantly to put off the old man. Romans says that constantly, to put it off, to put it aside, to not reflect on that, to not live by those things, to put them off. Put off the old man, okay? And put on the new man. How are we doing here? Sound down here. All right. Boy, I'll tell you what, the devil doesn't want this message preached today, but I'm going to preach it anyway. Because this is a message that'll change people's lives. The Holy Spirit says to put on that new man, which is created in the image of Christ. And so let me talk to you a little bit about the Holy Spirit and abiding in his presence. Okay? The Holy Spirit is a beautiful, beautiful comforter. I'm going to say it again. The Holy Spirit is a beautiful comforter. And the job of the Holy Spirit is to separate us from evil. How many of you love to be separated from something that's evil? Amen? I don't like things that are evil. I don't like things that are ungodly. And so I believe today the Holy Spirit is going to lead us into all truth. And I'm going to talk to you today about the desire of the flesh or the desire of the spirit. We have to be far more concerned about our character than anything else in life. Our character. That's the most important thing. It's not the way we look. It's not what kind of car we drive. It's not what kind of people that we're associated with or even what our job is all about. We are called to be Christ-like. And how is Christ? He's beautiful. He's beautiful. He's a comforter. The Christian that you are needs to be the Christian that you are at home. Because the Christian you are in home is the real you. All right, it's the real you. The Galatians chapter 5, put that up on the overhead. This is what we want to live like at home. This is what we want to be like at home and in the workplace. Okay? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, love is all of these fruits combined. They're all together. You look at gentleness, it's a form of love. And so what I put down is kind of a little interesting way of looking at love. Joy is love's exalting. Peace is love's reposing. Patience is love's enduring. Gentleness is love's softness. Goodness is love in action. Faith is love on the battlefield. Meekness is love under discipline. And self-control is love under training. All of these things are character issues. How many of you realize that wouldn't you much rather live with someone who was the most happy and joyful and kind person than someone that was the most beautiful person physically in the world? Amen? Okay, now I have a solution for helping us to understand how to live by the Spirit. I have a solution for us because the Bible says the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit wars against the flesh in the book of Romans. It talks about that. There's a war that goes on. All right, and let's take a look at the book of Romans here, chapter 6, because we're moving into that on Wednesday nights. Let's take a look at that. In Romans chapter 6, it explains something about the process of living by the Spirit. It says, "Do you not know that as many of us as we're baptized into Christ Jesus, we're baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of Christ's death, certainly, we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man, here we go, that our old man, this is our old man, it was crucified with him on the cross." Now watch this. "This was crucified on the cross with Christ." It died. And we got to see that. It was crucified with Christ that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who died has made us free from sin. Literally. Isn't that a powerful thought? Christ has made us free from sin. Let's move on. "Now, if we died with Christ," literally, when Christ died on the cross, we died with him. "If we died with Christ, having been raised from the dead, we were also raised with Christ when he came out of the tomb, we were raised with him. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died, he died to sin once and for all, but the life that he lives to God." Okay, now, I'm going to read that again. I'm going to read it here in this version here, because I think what you want to understand here is so important. It says, "In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey the evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as one who has been brought from dead to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be the master, because you are not under the law, but you are under grace. Now I'm going to back up again. I'm going to read this scripture again because this is important for us to understand. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. Wow. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. Now, this is what we have to understand. God says we do not have to let sin reign over our life. We don't have to. It doesn't have that impatience, that vanity, that selfishness, that pride. We've died to that. Where did we die? You say, where did we die? How did we die? We died to it when Christ died to it. Because we are one with Christ. In fact, it says that when Christ died, this body of death died on the cross. It died, literally. All that rage, all that selfishness, all of that stuff. I mean, seriously, this is the most powerful thing that you could ever understand in getting set free from sin's domain, okay? Because Jesus said this, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or in obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Hallelujah. Now, we are not a slave to sin. So many times we see ourselves as victims. Oh, why can't I get over this? Why can't I get through this? Because we've got to change our thinking. We have to change our thinking. One of the things we've got to remember is this, that anytime we go through a temptation, anytime we go through problems or trials or difficulties, God is getting us ready for an upgrade. It's a whole new way of looking at life. It's a whole new way of looking at problems. It's a whole new way of looking at temptation. All right? There are solutions for this, and I'm going to share with you how to overcome, how to live by the Spirit so that you don't get caught up in the negativity of death, the flesh, the mind of the flesh. Okay? Now, these are the solutions. There are five reasons why sometimes we're not led by the Spirit. Okay, I'm going to give you practical ideas here. Number one, not spending enough time fellowshipping with him. Okay? And I'm going to endorse something to you right now that is going to help you so your thinking can be changed. All right? You say, well, I'm free. I'm free from sin. Legally, yes, I am. But how do we remind our mind that so the mind doesn't lead us astray and into the wrong places? How do we do it? All right? We do it, number one, by spending enough time with him. And I call it the 7-minute rule every day. 7 minutes. If you can spend 7 quality minutes with God every day, and everybody can do this, 7 minutes praying and reading the word and acknowledging God, of just putting aside whatever you're doing, whatever, however, you know, busy your life may be, you have 7 minutes. I mean, that's about as long as it takes to go to the bathroom. Okay? So why don't you do it on the bathroom if you've got the 7 minutes? That's not saying you have to, you know, have to have totally concentrated time, but just put that Bible right there in the bathroom, and while you're there, spend the 7 minutes reading the Word and praying. Or right when you get up in the morning, set it 7 minutes before. Or stay up 7 minutes later. That quality time for 7 quality minutes, that is the beginning that can change your life. Because the Bible says, in all of your ways, acknowledge God, and he will direct your path. in all of your ways. And that's enough time for you to acknowledge God in all of your ways. So obviously, we like to have more time. The Lord would love that. But even if it's 7 minutes, it's something that you have, that you fellowship with the Lord. Number two reason why we're sometimes not led by the Spirit, because our mind has to be renewed to this fact that our body of sin is crucified with Christ. It is dead, by the way. Hallelujah. It is dead. You were crucified with Christ on the cross and you were raised up with him. That's awesome. How do we get that in our thinking again and remind ourselves of that over and over again? We have to remember this. Don't look for a sign or something, an audible voice, in order to hear God. Don't look for those things. Just simply acknowledge him in the word. Read his word. His word is a more sure word of prophecy. You don't have to have a sign. You don't have to have an audible voice. You don't have to have any of that. You just have to know his word. Because the Bible says, knowing his word sets you free. Hallelujah. And another reason why we may not be being led by the Spirit is because sometimes when we get in our 7-minute time or we get in our Bible time, we spent way too much time talking and not enough time listening. And so if you can spend part of that time just saying, God, is there something that you want to tell me today? I'm listening. Don't you know that he would so highly respect that, and he will tell you and he will show you that day what needs to be done? I'm listening, Lord. I'm listening for you. That's all you got to say. And another thing, I think, is that somehow we just say, well, God's not going to speak to me. I mean, that's just downright unbelief. But sometimes we say that. Say, for instance, if we've gone and done something wrong and we've made a terrible mistake by yelling at our children or, you know, disrespecting our family members or something like that, we get so bound up in what's called sin and iniquities and unbelief. Unbelief is what stands in the way of us being led by the Spirit. And so we just need to quickly repent of that and say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe. All right? And then we just walk in the knowledge that the Holy Spirit is prompting us. He is guiding us. He is leading us. He is a comforter. And he will entitle and give us what I call the fruit of the Spirit, which is within us. And I'll be talking about that in days to come. We both will. What the fruit of the Spirit does is it gives us hope that we can rise above the stupid flesh of ours that's always wanting its way. It's always wanting coconut cream pie. It's always wanting this and that and the other thing. It's always wanting something. Like I talked about last week, that flesh is always wanting the easy cheese. But it is a trap. So, another way I've learned to be able to walk in the Spirit is to yield to the Spirit continually by saying that out of my mouth. Lord, I yield to your Spirit. I yield to your Spirit today. And then when you have off time and you're not having to use your mind for something, just begin to pray in tongues. How many of you know how to pray in tongues? It is essential. It is essential. It is essential. And it, you know what? It's so valuable, because when you build up your faith by praying in the Spirit, it charges you up. Okay? So I'll be walking around and I don't even know what I'm praying for. The Bible says the Spirit of God takes hold with you against the infirmities of your flesh. Okay? It takes hold with you against infirmities in your flesh. And so you'll begin to be much more positive if you're negative by praying in the Spirit. You'll begin to see doors open and angels will move and God will do and perform miracles if you begin to pray in the Spirit. And you know what? I think sometimes people don't know how to pray in the Spirit because they think they're making it up. You know, I remember when the Holy Spirit came to me and said, I want to teach you how to pray in tongues. And he began to give me childlike syllables, just syllables, short little syllables. you know, and I began to put them together, just short syllables. And I said, what is this? Lord says, I'm giving you a creative language, a language of angels. And the creative syllables are just moving together. It's like kind of like a babbling tongue, or the Bible says a babbling tongue, or a tongue that is kind of a stuttering tongue sometimes, you know, stammering lips, where you're just stammering. And you know what? I think sometimes we can't receive that if you've never received it, because you've got to stop thinking and start drinking. You've got to stop thinking and just start drinking. Like when we're in the song, that river song, down, down, down to the river, we're literally entering into the spirit of something, the spirit of praise, the spirit of worship. We're not thinking things through at that time. Now, there is a place for thinking, okay? But when you're receiving the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, you stop thinking and you start drinking. All right? You just receive that stammering lips and the other tongue. Now, the reason why when we walk in the Spirit like this, it enables us to walk in what is ultimately God's goal, and that is love. Loving unconditionally. Loving people that are unlovely. I'm telling you, that is the mark of maturity. It is being able to have the ability to do what Christ did, and that is to love the unlovely. I mean, look at what Christ did on the cross. That is the ultimate of maturity, is to have that kind of love, to love unlovely people. It is the ultimate of maturity. And we will arrive there as we continually yield to the Spirit of God daily and acknowledge the fact that our body is dead to sin. I don't know how many times by faith that we have to just say that over and over and over, because faith is love's battlefield. Faith is love's battlefield, where we acknowledge that Christ lives in us and his fruit is alive in our life, and we're walking in that fruit of the Spirit and we're dead to the flesh. That has to be something that we renew our mind with. When we get up in the morning and our flesh just wants what it wants, we have to say no to that silly flesh, you know, and crucify it, because sometimes it doesn't want to get out of bed. Hey, sometimes it just wants to eat certain things, doesn't it? And we have to say no to that, because self-control is love's training. And self-control can actually also have to do with the way you treat people. Have you ever wanted to give someone a piece of your mind? They don't want a piece of your mind. Well, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. They don't want a piece of your mind. What they want is they want true love. They probably want something quite opposite from that. They probably want a word of encouragement to help them out of their problems. Okay? So don't continually giving people a piece of your mind. Remember, you've got the mind of Christ, and so many people, they realize they want to be in ministry, but you first have got to pass these tests of character. This is called the school of the Holy Ghost. I would not be here today if I had not been in training for reigning. Okay? Training for reigning. And faithful men and women are the ones that God chooses. All right? God is requiring a greater sacrifice than any of you could ever know. In these end times, we're going to have to face some pretty intense things. Terrorism all around. People all around us. Their hearts are failing them for fear. So what's going to help them is the most important thing in the world, and that's called unconditional love. That's going to help them. But get this, if you run away from a hard place, you're going to have to face that same thing over and over again until you pass the test. So let's just pass it, okay? Instead of having to go over and over and over again with problems. Now, my biggest temptation, and I have to confess this to you, that every time I go through this, God reminds me, you're dead to this. You don't have to go there any longer, is what's called a victim mentality. You know what a victim mentality is? It's thinking that you got gypped. It's thinking that you got gypped. You're getting gypped. Someone is gypping you. Someone's cheating you. Someone's doing this or whatever. And you know what? When somebody hurts me, I have to remember this. I have to constantly remind myself. When somebody hurts me with their words or says something to me, I constantly come back to the same thing, is I remind myself, if I pass this test, I'm going to get an upgrade. Because that's the way God thinks. God allows us to go through temptations so that we're like literally in training for reigning. And if we pass that test, okay, and don't give up, I'm talking about not even a week, not even a month, not even a year. If we don't give up, around the corner, somewhere, there's an upgrade. Somewhere. Okay? Now, instead of complaining, remember this. Stop thinking and start drinking. Woo! How many of you have ever just taken the best drink that you ever had? I'm not talking about alcohol, by the way. I'm talking about just the best drink, like some kind of punch or something that was so sweet. And, you know, like say you're on a vacation and they served you some kind of a punch with a little straw in it. And, you know, it looked like it was served in a big old coconut or something. You know, it was just the most wonderful drink. Have you ever had one of those? You know what I'm saying? So sweet and wonderful and flavorful. That's what God wants us to do. When we start to want to walk in love, we got to start drinking in His love. Woo! Drinking in His love. That's why I always know when someone, including myself, may start to get a little bit ornery that I haven't been drinking. And I got to start drinking and stop thinking. Okay? How do you do that? Okay, are you praying for your enemies? Ooh, that's a good way of drinking. Are you praying for your enemies? Are you praying for those that hurt you? Oh, Lord, bless them. You cannot treat someone disrespectfully if you're praying for them. You're not going to treat them disrespectfully. If you spent the time praying for them, you're praying for them, you're blessing them, you're doing good to them, you're reaching out, you're giving them blessings. I mean, eventually, something good is going to happen in your mind, and you're going to be totally free from their reaction to your behavior. You'll be free, okay? Because that's one of the faithful things I've learned. Just pray for them. Just drink in that love of God. Lord, I know You love me. I know You're for me. Romans 5:5 says, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Let's take a look at that, Romans 5. I don't know if it's up there or not. Did I give that one to you, Rachel? Romans 5:5. Let's take a look at that. Romans 5:5. It says, the love of God is actually shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. It's like literally, you know, what does it mean to be shed abroad? It's kind of like water, okay? You know how water just flows? Water. I don't know if I gave that one to you. Did I give that one to you, Rachel? I didn't. Okay, then I'll read it here. Romans 5:5. This is the details of it. It says, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. And you see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's unconditional love. I want that kind of love, don't you? Don't you want to show that kind of... That's the ultimate of being Christ-like. In that while we were yet sinners, while people are yet sinners, while they're still ornery, while they're still hateful, while they're still critical, suspicious, and uncaring, we can lay down our life and love them. Okay? Hard-hearted, judgmental Christians. You know, I've heard someone say this one time, and I felt so bad. Some said this, I like my work friends better than my church friends. And I thought, oh my goodness, Why is that? Why is that? It's because the church can be judgmental. Instead of judgmental, we should be caring. All right. Okay? We should be forgiving, watching the fruit, that fruit-bearing tree of righteousness. We know people by their fruits, don't we? We know trees by their fruits. People will know us by our fruit. One of the signs of the end times, the Bible says, is that in the end times, people will be lovers of self, and they will be literally touchy, it says. They will be loving themselves to such a point that they'll be touchy. Do you know what it means to be touchy? It means to be offended. Why'd you say that? Touchy. Why'd she do that? That's touchy. Okay? Oh, I don't want to be touchy. Touchy. What's touchy? Touchy is just thinking, you know, why did they do that? I don't get it. No. Don't figure it out. People are people. Everybody is a person. Everybody has problems, including you and me. Okay? We all have problems, okay? So when the heat gets turned up and we start not liking the way people are talking to us, let's remember this. Jesus died for that person. And be the bigger person and try to love them. All right? The whole problem of the devil is that he's a liar. And he'll try to lie to you. He'll try to outsmart you. He'll try to outwhip you. But when you walk aggressively in love, it becomes what I call spiritual warfare. Okay? So important. Mercy and grace. It's so important. It causes us to be able to triumph over the enemy. The nature of the flesh, though, is very selfishness. It's very selfish. It's a trap, though. Instead of believing for something bad to happen, get up in the morning and say, God, I'm ready for my upgrade. I'm ready. I'm ready for my upgrade. That's when you put on that kind of attitude, I'm ready for my upgrade. Then you literally are what's called right here. You've crucified your dead man, your old man. You've crucified it. Lord, I'm ready for my upgrade. And no matter what happens today, I'm going to remember that I died with you and I was raised with you, and now I'm going to walk with you today. I'm going to walk with you through every temptation, every trial, no matter what people say to me. I am not going to be moved. Just say that. I am not going to be moved. I'm not going to take offense and get touchy. Okay? I'm going to dream some big dreams. I'm going to walk the walk of faith. I'm going to see the big picture. Because so many times we just see this little narrow vision of what someone said or what someone did or what someone did maybe thousands or I shouldn't say thousands of days ago, but a couple days or maybe hundreds of days ago. Well, I remember when they did that. And you're still touchy about it. Okay? We've got to remember, God wants us to have that upgrade. We are crucified with Christ. And now we're alive with God. We can walk free from the past. Just say in your mind right now, say, I'm dead to my past. And the way everybody's treated me, I'm going to put it to death right now. And I'm going to get my upgrade. I'm ready. I am ready. And I am ready, and I'm going to receive it. Now, love is willing to be committed to imperfect people. Okay? Love is willing to be committed to imperfect people. That's a really big, important quote. Love is willing to be committed to imperfect people. Sometimes we just come where it seems like everybody is real good and happy and, you know, things are fine and everything's going really well and I want to be a part of that. That's called sensational Christianity. I want to be a part of that. Everything is good. Everything seems holy. Everything is fine. And you know what? You're not going to get your upgrade there. You're going to get your upgrade where you're the light in the darkness. That's where you're going to get your upgrade. Okay? And when you remember that, it becomes so fun because you're walking around, you're thinking, wow, God is going to do something special in my life. I know that if I handle this with his help, by his grace, and pray for grace and mercy, not only for my enemy, but also pray for grace and mercy for myself, and that I would be able to have love, and I die to myself, legally, I am already dead with Christ. Legally, I am. Okay? That's what Christ says. But now I have to live it out. Now I got to walk it out by acknowledging the fact that this is the truth. This is how we become people of faith. Paul said this. I love this Paul's quote. I die daily. What does that mean? That means I die daily. Pretty simple. He didn't say, I died a long time ago with Christ. Although he did, okay? Yes, he did. And he said that in another area of Scripture. He said, I died and I was raised up with Christ. But now we're going to walk it out. Now we're going to live it out. Now we're going to do what Christ has already done for us, and we're going to die daily. And the way we do it is by acknowledging the fact that we did die with Christ on the cross. And how we do that is by coming into fellowship with him on a daily basis. Remember that 7-minute rule. At least 7 minutes, Derek. At least 7 minutes. At least 7 minutes every day with God. Right, Gina? Every day, at least, where you acknowledge him in all of your ways, that he would direct your path. Okay? Now, selfishness is a trap, like I said last week. Nobody's happy about self-sacrifice. Everybody, let's have a self-sacrifice conference, okay? How many people are going to show up to a self-sacrifice conference? No, but listen to this. Maybe if we titled it something different, we called it grace. That's exactly what it is, because grace works by acknowledging the fact that God loves us. We can work this out right now, okay? Now let me take you here somewhere, okay? I'm going to help you to understand that it's going to be fun to lay down your life. Would you like to be there? Would you like to learn how it's fun to work? Okay, it's fun. I love working because I know faith works by love. Faith works by love. So if you're in the presence of God 7 minutes a day receiving God's love, and he's not going to be there condemning you, my child, why did you take 7 minutes to be with me? He's not going to do that. You stupid person, why did you take 7 minutes? And furthermore, you know, yesterday you did this wrong and the other thing. No, he's not going to do that. When you get into that 7-minute place of habitation with God, you're saying, God, I love you. I want to hear from you. I'm just needing you right now to speak to me so that I can make it through. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to show you things to come. He's going to help you. He's going to help you, enable you in his love. You're going to soak in that love, and then you're going to walk out, and you're going to have this ability to what I call in 1 John 4, you're going to have the victory that overcomes the world. And you're going to have in Ephesians 6:6, the ability to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. And in Galatians 5:6, you're going to have this faith that is energized and worked by love. Because that strong ministry is going to come out of you to others because you've spent that time with God. And God, who is love, will manifest himself through you in love. That's how it happens. It's the divine connection. It's the encounter with the loved one, Jesus Christ. Really, we don't need to have anything more other than just that quality time, because if you begin to let God do something like this, I'm telling you, let him lead you. Things, wonderful things happen. I heard a story of a lady called, I'm not going to say her name, but she was a wonderful speaker. And she was at a conference, and she was speaking at a conference, and afterwards, they all went out to lunch afterwards, and a group of ladies were all together. And this lady, she had it on her heart that she was going to give this friend of hers a ring. She wanted to give her this ring, but she didn't know if it was the Lord or not. She said, Lord, and she prayed this. She just sought the Lord. She said, Lord, if this lady gets up and comes over and sits by me, I'm going to give her that ring because I know that you're leading. And that's the very thing that happened. The lady got up. She said, she went to the salad bar. She was fixing her salad. And this is a well-known speaker, okay? One of the speakers, you might, if I said her name, you might know who it is. She was fixing her salad bar, and she just walked on by, she said, with her salad in her hand. She walked right by the lady who had been praying this prayer about the ring. And she said, my, you sure look beautiful today. I just want to compliment you on your dress. And the lady began to cry. And she began to cry. She said, you know what? This just shows me that God hears my prayers and that he's always loving me. And she took off her blue ring and she gave it to the lady. And she said, God told me that if you were going to come by and talk to me and be near me and sit by me, that I was supposed to give you this. Now, we can be led by the Spirit like that through 7 minutes a day if you just acknowledge God in all things. You know, instead, we though sometimes have this victim mentality that we walk around with, it's like, poor, poor, pitiful me, you know. Can anything good happen with me? You know, something like that. Or it's just that nasty, offensive attitude. It may be pride turned in a different way. There's all kinds of way pride can be. There's pride of, you know, I'm not worthy. Or this other pride, I am worthy. Why are they doing that to me? Why are you talking to me like that? That's just another form of pride. It's all pride, okay? But it's just a form of pride. And so what we got to remember is that when we get together with the Holy Ghost, when we get together with Jesus Christ, and he begins, you know, to speak to us and love us, and we're fellowshipping with him, okay, and we see that our old man is dead, then we rebound, and we're resurrected to new life in Christ, and we walk out of that room of habitation with God, and we have power, all right? We have power to be able to overcome that grumbling spirit. Satan tries to get us to be judgmental of ourselves or prideful of ourselves. But Jesus and the Holy Ghost, they are our lawyer. He is our defense, okay? He acts like a defendant, a lawyer, a judge, and the jury, and he's all saying, we're fine. Isn't that good to know? We're fine. We may not do everything right, and God has a way of showing us little things where we need to be corrected. But overall, we've got to remember to listen to the Comforter because God will forgive us. He will tell us things like, look how far you've come. Remember where you used to be. Remember? Remember when you used to have that suicidal tendency? Remember when you used to have that nasty, bad attitude of anger and you always used to fly off the handle? But then you spent time with me. And you began to see how, you know, you could be changed, how you could overcome that, how Jesus, I would help you. You know, I'm telling you, if it wasn't for the mercy of God, we all would be consumed. It is the truth. If it wasn't for the mercy of God. But we do have the power to be strong. And we've got to keep a remembrance, a book of remembrance of all the ways that God loved us. And remember that whenever we're getting down. You know what I always do? I pray that God would be like a soldier and march out like a mighty man and help me. That's in Isaiah 42, verse 13. The Bible says, God is a soldier. If you're taking notes, that's a good scripture to write down. Isaiah 42, 13. He will march out like a mighty man to defend you. Isn't that beautiful? He'll march out like a mighty man to defend you and DJ Derek. Amen. God has emotions. He has passions. All right? God is extremely happy with you. You think, oh, what, you know, God's happy with me? Oh, yes, he's happy with me. He's happy with you. He's pleased with you. How many of you just walk around, though, with this negative kind of a feeling or this exalted feeling of yourself? And you've had to exalt yourself because you don't know how God feels about you to be able to get along. Okay? Now, God, have you ever heard somebody bragging about themselves? I just want to go. The Bible says, toot your own horn. You know, don't toot your own horn. Let somebody else toot yours. Okay? Because somebody who's bragging about themselves, all it is a manifestation of insecurity. That they have to appear to be better than they are. You know what? If you're engrossed in the righteousness of God and you have that on as a garment, you don't need to say anything but hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ is my life. Christ is my strength. Christ is my glory. He's the glory and the lifter of my head. Hallelujah. And that's the truth. That's worth hallelujahing, isn't it, Gina? That's worth hallelujahing. God delights over you. Literally, it says, God delights over you with festive pleasure. So you don't have to toot your own horn. You can let somebody else do it. Because generally, if you don't do it, somebody else is going to do it for you. That's what the Bible says. He's going to lift you up. When nobody else is lifting you, Jesus is going to lift you up. So listen to the Holy Spirit and walk in love. Unconditional love is the nature of God. It is His character that really matters. God will not condemn you. He will commend you for spending those 7 minutes with Him a day. He will commend you. It's impossible to love God, though, if we haven't received His love first. All right? We can't love people. We can't love people, barely even friends and family, without first receiving God's love, let alone the enemies that God said to love. He said, love our enemies. Pray for those that persecute you. And so Jesus made a statement, and He said this, the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have abundant life. And I believe that abundant life comes when we master the ability to love our enemies. I have seen it in my own personal life. When people are nasty to me, or when people don't understand, or they say things or lies, I just have learned right now that it's an upgrade. It's time for an upgrade, and God's going to do something special for me if I just continue to love and believe in them and do my best to forgive and forget. Just forget. Just forget. Every day, get up and go, don't hold them to that. Don't hold them to their mistakes. Don't do that. You know, Jesus said, that's a way in which we die to ourselves by not even remembering it anymore. Jesus said, when He forgave our sins, He wiped our sins away, and He doesn't remember our sins any longer. He doesn't even remember them. So why are we bringing them up to God? Oh, He doesn't even remember. He says, as far as the east is from the west, therefore I will forget and forgive, and I'll wipe them away. So let's not even think about those. Let's ask Him to forgive us. Let's ask Him to forgive us. If we've made mistakes, obviously you ask Him to forgive you. But then don't bring it up again, and don't condemn yourself, because He's not condemning you. So a self-controlled life is one who will be able to say, now I know God loves me and I can lean upon God. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you can take part of those 7 minutes this week and begin to pray this scripture, I say this because I really think it really, really has made a difference in my life. I acknowledge things, you know, in a different way. I don't live by my feelings. I used to live by my feelings quite a bit, but I don't live by my feelings hardly at all anymore, except for occasionally with this victim mentality, God's had to deal with me. But you know how I overcome a lot? I've overcome by reading this scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, love is patient, love is kind. Love does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not selfish, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always preserves, and love never fails. Now, if you will take your name and put your name in there and begin to say, Dan is patient. Dan is kind. Dan does not envy. Amy does not boast. Amy is not proud. Amy is not selfish. Laurel is not easily angered. She keeps absolutely no record of wrongs. Tanya loves. She does not delight in evil, but Tanya rejoices in the truth. Bill always protects people. Bill always trusts. Bill always hopes. Bill always preserves. And Lori never fails. Whatever your name is, put your name in there and read that over and over and over and over again. You will not fail. You will not fail. Because love is spiritual warfare. It keeps you from being touchy. Because when you're touchy, you know what happens? You walk right into that silly old trap. Remember I had that mouse trap out last week? That's what you walk in when you're touchy. When you've got your feelings on your sleeve, well, I deserve better. Well, you may, okay? But think about this. None of us deserve anything but hell. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, amen? All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So what do we deserve? Hell. What do we have, though? Jesus. We have Jesus. We have not only Jesus, but we have a resurrected new life where this is on the cross daily. And Paul says, I die daily. And so now, hallelujah, we can take off this old man. I'm going to take this old black garment off, you know, and I'm going to put on this new garment. And this is what God says we can wear every day. Woo! Nice and warm, too. We can wear it. It's warm. It's wonderful. We put on the new man now, okay? And I always think about that when I'm getting dressed every morning. The Holy Spirit reminds me of it. You're putting on your clothes. Put on the new man. How do you do that? By acknowledging every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. I have died to sin. I am now alive to God. I have the resurrection life of God flowing through me. This is the truth. I am filled with love. I'm patient. I'm kind. I'm not envious. I don't boast. I'm not proud. I'm not rude. I'm not selfish. I'm not easily angered. I keep no record of wrongs. I do not delight in evil, but I rejoice with the truth. I always protect people, always love them. I always hope for them. I always preserve them. And now this is my promise. This is my upgrade. And Lori, she's never going to fail. That's an upgrade. You got your upgrade there, honey. You got your upgrade. Okay. You want to avoid failing, that's how you avoid it. It's the joy of giving. It's the promise of the Holy Spirit. And in Romans, we're going to delve into that even more on Wednesday. But sometimes, you know, your iniquities can separate you from God. And what are those iniquities? Basically, they're just that spirit of unbelief that you don't feel as if you're worthy or you feel like you're better than someone else or you feel like God himself is angry with you. But he's not. God loves you very dearly. Now, there's always a place for correction, and yes, God will correct you because he loves you. You want to be corrected by God. You don't want to walk around in ignorance, stumbling through life, not becoming the very best that you can be. That's why we need to yield to obedience. When there's a test, there's also a blessing right around the corner. There's an upgrade, but we need to obey him. All right? Obey him when he says to change. Obey him when he says, acknowledge those things. Do what I said. Do what God says. It's a spiritual discipline. Set aside 7 minutes a day to be with God, and he will change you. You don't have to change yourself. That's an awesome truth. You do not have to change yourself. He will change you. Now, isn't that freeing? Well, for some of you that may be struggling with a bad habit, that's the truth that will set you free. If you're struggling with a bad habit of drinking, if you're struggling with a bad habit of alcohol or drugs or licentiousness or just self-preoccupation, whatever it is, you know how you get rid of it? by acknowledging the fact that this is what God did for you on the cross. You've been crucified. Those things are crucified. And you're a new creature. You're a new creature. You don't have to live bound by any kind of selfish behavior any longer. You do not have to be self-conscious. You have a righteousness now, a conscious of God's righteousness that overcomes the world. It overcomes the world. Because when you're walking in God's righteousness, you're walking as a tree of righteousness, you're abounding in fruit. You're giving out fruit. For the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead gives life to your mortal flesh. And you walk around now filled with power, filled with an overcoming power, no longer a debtor to the flesh. Hallelujah. So you say, yeah, but, no yeah-buts. Okay? No more yeah-buts. Remember, yeah-buts are gone, okay? Okay, yeah, but I still have problems. Yeah, but. God says this, just believe. Let's stand up together. Just believe. Faith works by love. This is what God did. He commended his love for us in that when Christ died and shed his blood, he gave us a new life, and now our dead flesh, it's been crucified with Christ. And we were raised together with Christ. When he came out of that tomb, we came out of the tomb too. And now we're living and walking in the Spirit of life. Ah, just like the church, the Spirit life. We're walking in that Spirit life. And we can rise above the temptations. And when the temptations may be more than we can handle, the Bible says this, no temptation that is common to man is more than we can handle. He said, I will give you a way of escape. And what's that way of escape? Jesus. Call upon him. Call upon him. Now, I will say this. On the onset of every day, you've got a choice to make. Am I going to spend that 7 minutes with God that's going to change my day? Am I going to do that? And he presents to you life or death, blessing or cursing. Who wants life right now? Okay, now. God's never going to judge you if you make a mistake. He's not going to judge you. He's not going to slap you in the face. But you are going to walk into a direction that you don't want to go in without spending that time with God. You're going to just stumble into it, and you won't want to be there. And then you're going to have to cry out, and God's going to deliver you, and he's going to get you out. Wouldn't you like to avoid that place altogether? Hey, come on. Honestly, wouldn't you like to avoid that place? Well, there's a lot more that you could avoid by spending that 7 minutes with God. A lot more temptations that you will not be led into. The Bible says, lead me not into temptation, right? But deliver me from all evil. Lead me not into temptation. Praise God. So the 7 minutes a day, amen. That's right, Derek, you can do it. You can do it. 7 minutes a day with God. Everybody can do it. You can do it sitting on the toilet if you have to. Put that Bible right by your toilet, okay? And spend that time with God, praising him, worshiping him, thanking him, acknowledging him in all of your ways, and he will direct your steps. Hallelujah. Now, God, I just want to thank you for each person today. Lord God, each of this family, God, is so special to you. God, I thank you right now by the blood of Jesus that we have been bought with a price. Therefore, hallelujah, put off the old man. Let's put him off and put on the new man that is renewed in the Spirit of God. The life of God in our mind, saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am one with God. I am one with God. I am one with God. Now just start drinking in the Holy Spirit right now. The Holy Spirit wants us to soak in his love. Can you do that right now? Soak in his love.